Thanks for being with us. We appreciate everybody that listens.
And also, now we're on the WGTD website with the archives of the show. So if you'd like to be, I don't know.
Janet, you're in the archives. You're the Hall of Famer. Yeah.
Awesome.
We're there. Again, thanks to the Troy McDonald. Thanks to Dobie. Thanks to Janet Whipple. And we'll talk to you another time.
Support for WGTD comes from Sandy's Popper. When ordering online, get free shipping on all orders over $75 at sandyspopper.com. Sandy's Popper, poppin' and scoopin', downtown Kenosha, 5503 6th Avenue.
Support for WGTD comes from Piasecki Althaus. Since 1931, Piasecki Althaus has provided unmatched, compassionate service and are dedicated to your family, guests, and supporting the community. Piasecki Althaus Funeral Home, honoring personal legacies and the circle of life. 262-658-4101.
Support for WGTD comes from Classic Violins, quality and tradition since 1989. Featuring award-winning handcrafted woodwind, brass, and string instruments, private and small group lessons for all ages and experience levels, sales, rentals, and service. Visit classicviolins.com.
This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
And a very pleasant good morning and welcome to this edition of Education Matters here on WGTD-HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. I'm your host, Steve Brown, for Education Matters. In segment one, my guest will be Ray Kakari, who is Dean of the School of Manufacturing, Engineering, and IT here at Gateway Technical College. And in segment two, my guest will be Dr. Jennifer Charpentier, who is Executive Director of the Gateway Technical College Foundation. And I'm very pleased to have once again in our studios here Ray Kakari. And Ray is Dean of the School of Manufacturing, Engineering, and Information Technology, and also Dean of Campus Affairs at the Gateway SC Johnson IMET Center. Ray, as always, welcome to our studios. And this is the studio where you did that show.
Breakfast Bites.
Breakfast Bites.
Yes, thank you very much.
So give me a sense of how things have gone this past academic year for you. Here we are in June, and this show will air on the 23rd of June. And we're recording it about a week before. But overall, how has this past academic year gone for you, and for all the programs and projects that you're involved in?
Sure, it's been an exciting and challenging year, both. One, because we had a lot of change, and the change happened in January, where I became the dean for the School of Manufacturing, Engineering, and Information Technology. Prior to that, I was the dean of business and information technology and the dean of the Racine campus. So this shift was predicated, actually, by the need to get into Industry 4.0, advanced manufacturing, smart manufacturing, whatever you want to call it. And that entitles taking along with it information technology, because that's a big part of this merger of technologies that's now being called advanced manufacturing. So that's what we did. I've been in the position almost 6 months, and I have to tell you, it's fast moving, and I love it. I've met so many people. I've gotten so involved in the curriculum and where we're headed, and in the state, and trying to align this program statewide so that everybody can teach it and we can supply all the industry needs. Because it's not just Foxconn that's headed down this path. Mm-hmm. All of our manufacturers in the whole region, the whole state for that matter, will be down there. I was at Quick Trip 2 months ago, and they're already headed down this path. I was just at Ashley Furniture. They're headed down this path. I've been invited in 2 weeks to Sargento Cheese. They're headed down this path. So every different type of manufacturing, and everyone is concerned, because the truth of the matter is we have less and less younger people coming up through the school system, so they need to turn to automation. Mm-hmm. And this is the way to do that. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, how many years have you been here at Gateway?
This coming August, I'll start my 15th year, wow, so 14 years.
You mentioned Foxconn. Let's just talk about that briefly. The involvement that Gateway has had with regards to Foxconn, from your own perspective, what impact is that going to have, and is it already having on Gateway?
It's definitely having a huge impact. You know, many times we get paid internships one or two at a time to a manufacturer. Foxconn came to us and wanted 20 at once. They actually have 24 of our students working on internships. And the beauty of their internships is they're not just for a month or they're not just for 2 months. They have the ability to work for the whole summer full-time if they want. They have the ability to work year-round at limited hours. They have the ability, as they're going through college, even once they transfer from Gateway to MSOE, to actually continue that internship in the summer. So we have a great partnership with them, and I'm really excited about it. They're also helping us develop every one of these programs where they have a need. So they have an extreme need in advanced manufacture. They sat down with us, with their engineers, and walked through our degree to make sure that we were right on track. They did the same thing so far with us with data analytics. So that'll be another degree we're working on. And, you know, they sat down with us on cybersecurity because they have a different need for cybersecurity. So they're sitting down with us, helping us develop that curriculum. And then once we have it ready, then we're going to the rest of the state to see, does this apply to the rest of the state or is it just here in this region? Because, mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to reinvent everything. We want to share everything we have.
Sure. So in reality, this is a true partnership, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely is. This is one of the best partnerships. We have great partnerships, though. I have to shout out Mike Reeder here. That's one of the partnerships I want to talk about is Precision Plus. He was our graduation speaker last month and did a phenomenal job. And, you know, the one thing I know that all those students took away with was the ethics and the drive that he talked about and having passion for work. And he's very serious about that. I was real happy to hear him speak, and I know the students were too. So big shout out to Mike Reeder, and thanks so much for doing that. They are a great partner, and we have lots of great partners. Mm-hmm. You know, SC Johnson, you know, we've got Modine. We've got all the partners throughout the whole region that are here and existing, and they're just another one. They're going to be a lot bigger, obviously, mm-hmm. but they're another one that we want to make sure that we don't lose sight of all the rest of them either. So we want to actually merge them all. When we have advisory meetings, we want to make sure they're all at the table and not just one segment of the market.
Sure, sure. And isn't that one area that's always important to make sure that the public knows that as a technical college, as an institution of higher learning in the state that's funded through the state and through tax dollars, our property taxes and everything else, Gateway Technical College has always been at the forefront of partnerships.
That's exactly right. And we have to be. I mean, that's our charter. We can't establish a new program unless there's need, and the need has to be from the local economy. And once that's established, then we can actually go and create that curriculum. Mm-hmm. So that is a great, I think that's a great thing. It also allows us to be agile and move rapidly to develop new programs like we are.
So as far as new programs, we mm-hmm. talked before we started the recording about some of the topics that we were going to talk about. And one of them is the Ford NGL, which is the Next Generation Learners. But what is this Ford NGL Next Generation Learners all about, and how did Gateway get involved, and where are we in that process?
Wow, that's a great question. It's a long story, but I'm going to do it as fast as I can. The Ford NGL is actually a grant that was given to the Racine Academies to help them create the academies and get them started. But they have to report progress, which is really nice for a grant to do that. So actually, at the end of this month, I'll be going there with some administrators from Racine Unified to talk about some of the progress that they've made and also to talk about the future plans that they have to embed more and more of these academies and tie them directly to Gateway so that we can get transcripted credits and get these students credits before they even graduate, which is really a great part. And they're focused on pathways. So we're no longer taking a course here and a course there that's not directed on a future. It's along a pathway that can lead to a career or a focus that they have that they're interested in. So I'm excited about that. I'm also presenting, and I will present that, plus a new model that I'm working on with the Real School. One of the things I am really excited about is they're going to they've asked us to develop a program, and we're presenting it to them in the next few weeks. And it literally, we call it a wheel, but it really is, all of their freshman students have the opportunity to come to Gateway Campus. They will take 8 different disciplines throughout the 40 weeks. So every 5 weeks, they will go into a different discipline at the Gateway SC Johnson IMET Center and rotate through that wheel. And it's really exciting. At the end of that freshman year, they can select one of 3 pathways that then they can focus on to actually take courses in their sophomore year, their junior year, and get this, half of their senior year, half of the semester will be at Gateway. So they'll be in the morning or the afternoon at Gateway to complete that. So they'll graduate with 24 to 28 credits of college
credit. Wow. What are some of the academic areas? I mean, what are some of the areas that are part of the wheel?
Sure. So IT Web is one. CNC, tool and die, advanced manufacturing, mechanical design, electrical engineering, and civil engineering. That's the gist of the wheel. It'll be focused on manufacturing, and of course we have to bring IT into that because
sure.
It's part of the mix now.
Sure. Now, you mentioned before the Milwaukee School of Engineering, MSOE,
mm-hmm.
and of course they are nationally and internationally recognized. You know, one of the things that I always think about as a former high school principal is, and I always believe this, and I'm going back 25 years when I was a principal,
sure.
is that not all students are destined as far as going to a 4-year university right out of high school. And there's technical training. They can go into the military. There are so many options. Am I off base to think or even say, here we are in 2018, that there are more options that students have as a high school junior or senior when they start thinking about what they want to do when they graduate, and they might change their mind 5, 6, 7 times between the ages of 18 and 25, but as far as advanced education.
Oh, you're exactly right. I think about, you know, to when I went in, I went into the Marine Corps right out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to go to Michigan Tech to study chemistry, but it was the farthest thing from my mind. My mom was disappointed, of course. She wasn't in the end, but she was disappointed at that time. But it gave me the time to focus on what I really liked, and that at that time it was business. This round, it gives students an opportunity to, hey, I'm really interested in the graphic arts. I can go down that pathway and find out, do I have the talent or not to actually make a career of it? And there's so many options in there that, you know, they could be a graphic designer. They could be a marketing expert. You know, they could do websites. There's all kinds of things they could focus on down that pathway. So it gives them that ability to explore, and it's safe. They're actually getting college credits for it. So even if they don't go that pathway, let's say they decide to go business after that, those would still be electives that could transfer.
Sure.
So it's really a great opportunity for our students. And the beauty of it is most of these are free to the student.
So these 24
yep.
to 28 hours that a student would earn prior to graduating from high school, essentially when they would start in college, whether it be at Gateway or at Parkside or wherever, in essence they're starting as a sophomore.
Exactly. Isn't that exciting?
And they're doing it without a penny out of their pocket.
Without a penny out of their pocket.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
This is the first that I'm hearing about this particular program. But what's been the overall reaction that you get from the public, from parents? Because I'm sure you make presentations out in the community.
Right. And I've just started making these presentations. I'm waiting for approval from the Real School to actually proceed on it, and once we do that, we'll definitely be talking to the community. But at the Ford NGL, I'm going to actually present on this because
okay.
I think it's such a great thing. But it's really, if you take us back to where we were, it's the old becoming new again.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the way my high school was. We had a freshman year was all exploratory. I went to Boys Tech, and that's what it was about. It was every few weeks we'd go through woodworking, we'd go through electrical, we'd go through chemistry, we'd go all the way through, and at the end of the freshman year we'd select what field we were going to be in. So this was exciting, and we lost that for all these years, and now we're coming back to that. So it's what's old is new again.
Maybe if you could talk briefly about what the real school is all about. I mean, I hear about it. I've read a few things about it. But for our listening audience who might not know anything about it, give us a quick overview of that.
Sure. It's a fantastic school, and it's academy. And it allows students to actually that are interested in STEM, like engineering or in the arts, to actually be at that school, so they can select to go to that school.
So STEM, we're talking about science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Correct.
And how about art? So we have STEAM in there.
STEAM in there, exactly.
STEAM and STEM.
So this is actually a STEAM, which would make...
Now, is this only in Racine County, or is it Racine and Kenosha County?
Well, this particular school is only in Racine County. Okay. However, the plan is, once I have proof of concept, Elkhorn has already approached me to replicate this in Elkhorn. And I know we'll have Bradford and Lakeview and Kenosha coming as soon as we have the program up and running and demonstrate that it's effective and it works.
Okay.
So I'm excited about it, and I'm excited for parents to reduce the cost of tuition, because this is 24 to 28 credits that will not cost them anything.
That is amazing. I mean, it's one thing, 4, 6, 8, 10 credits, but here a student can earn these credits, and depending on what their major is going to be, these could be electives or actually be courses that will count towards their major.
Right.
And they will start essentially as a sophomore.
Yes. Yes. It's so exciting. That's why I'm so excited about this program. But that leads me then to, at the Gateway SC Johnson IMET Center,
mm-hmm.
We bring these in. We have that expansion planned because we have to support the new advanced manufacturing degree. And that advanced manufacturing degree, we're bringing in 9 new robots. We're bringing in 5 robo-drills. So the actual production floor is going to get a lot more complicated. We're adding integration into that because that's part of Industry 4.0. So all of these are interconnected. So everything's talking to everything. We're going to bring in our IT group to actually put a network and pull big data out of this. So all of this center is going to be expanded so that we can actually have more classrooms and help the real school with the next, because every year we're going to have the freshmen in again, and then we'll have the sophomore, junior, seniors. And so we're going to need that space, and I'm excited about that. We're hoping to break ground in September, and hopefully we'll hear that's going to happen shortly. But that leads me to this advanced manufacturing degree. I have to tell you, it's been the most exciting thing and game changer that we've actually done. This is Foxconn came to us and said, this is huge for us. We need 90 to 120 of this type of student every year. Well, no matter what I do, with all the facilities we have at in Elkhorn and at the Gateway SC Johnson IMET Center, we can only produce probably a maximum of 60 of these, and that's if we get all the students coming in. That leaves about 60 left from everywhere else, and where are they going to come from? So the beauty is the rest of the state stepped up. MATC, our sister college, mm-hmm. Waukesha Tech, our sister college, Madison College, and then Mid-State have all stepped forward and said, hey, we'll offer that same curriculum, and we'll produce that same graduate to help that. Well, then you take this degree and you talk to our advisory councils here, and they all go, we need that same student. So all of a sudden, you're not just at 60, you're back at 120, and how do you fill that need? So we have to be creative in how we're going to offer this in the future, and I'm sure we're going to get to the point where we're having Saturday and Sunday classes to mm-hmm. actually support
sure.
this. I'm sure we are.
Sure. And then what's the impact on faculty and staff? Obviously, as these programs continue to grow, we need staff to actually make these programs happen. So what's the impact on faculty, staff, and budget?
Yeah, great questions. The budget is a little tight because it is,
yep.
and it always is, but
yep.
we spent a lot of money this year on capital. We have a lot more to go on capital to get the equipment that we need to make this happen. but the college has been very supportive of it. The operational budget gets a little tight, but we're going to need to hire, for instance, another staff to maintain all that equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Faculty, we have some great adjuncts, but we've recently hired two people in this field. We'll probably end up needing two or three more before all is said and done to be able to get this many students through. So there will be an increase in staff and faculty.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exciting. Like I said, this is an exciting time because this degree is going to push all other degrees. You think about that, is it's not just the technology that's involved here. Other areas of the college all of a sudden will need this. Our IT folks never were involved in this, and now all of a sudden they're on the shop floor. They were never in the shop floor before. So, because they were in the front office with the business. So this is exciting for them. They're learning new things. They're learning new technologies. That to me is important. Even our web people have never had to deal with a shop. Well, you're thinking, what would the web do? Well, the web people make mobile apps. They are used a lot in the shops to monitor equipment. So they're being pulled into there. So we have a lot that's happening, and it's impacting all areas of all business, all parts of business, supply chain, manufacturing, and every other part of our college. So I'm excited about that because I can only see us growing and having more and more students.
Sure. With everything with regards to technology and the internet and web security, how much emphasis is placed on the curriculum today with regards to internet security, website security? You know, we hear about all the issues of hacking, mm-hmm. into systems in general, whether it's into Sony Pictures in California or into elections and stuff like that. How strong are our programs here at Gateway in that area?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. That was a real concern for Foxconn as well, because they want all data to be secured and in their site. And this is a problem worldwide, not just here. As you know, you just stated a whole bunch of places where we've had breaches. We are working very closely to establish a security that is based on national standards, a security program. So we actually are going through that process right now, because we want to make sure that you come out of this degree for cybersecurity that you can get a job at the government level, at the state level, no matter what it is, and a corporate office, obviously, and you have the same credentials so that everybody knows you've gone through all this training. So it's very important to us. You ask about web. Web is just as concerned about it because they don't want that getting out. So more and more security has been actually embedded in the code to prove that you are a user and not a robot. I think you see a lot of those now.
Mm-hmm.
You never used to see those, hey, check here if you're not a robot. Well, you never saw that before, did you? Or enter this code so you can proceed. Well,
right.
Yeah, that's all to prevent all that hacking.
And by the way, I still have trouble sometimes in reading what those letters and numbers are, and sometimes I have to click. You know, so they show me another one that I can read because they make it, you know, a little difficult, but I understand why.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So yes, we're embedding security. And then, you know, we're working with BWS, which is our business partners here at Gateway, to work on a low-voltage product, technical diploma that we can actually put in our building trades. But you talk about security. Security systems, phone systems, they all have that security need. So we have to be diligent in making sure that that's embedded in that curriculum.
Mm-hmm. And my last question with regards to safety and not anything to do with the internet. As the former dean of the Racine campus, let's talk about campus safety, ALICE
sure.
training, just general safety on the campus, whether it be on the Racine campus or at the SC Johnson, at the Gateway SC Johnson IMET Center. How much emphasis is there at this point in time with regards to safety?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we've gone through a lot of training, the ALICE training we've gone through, and Tom Cousineau is our Vice President of Safety and Security, and he has done a fabulous job making sure we all go through that. At the same time, he's done a security audit, had an external company come in and actually do that. We've actually looked at business continuity, which we never have done before, and so that if some campus would be shut down, how do we actually do classes?
Mm-hmm.
So he's worked on that. And the camera systems are all high def throughout the entire district now, as far as looking at areas to make sure that if we're dealing with cash or if we're dealing with computers, that that technology is safe and that the people are safe in parking lots. You're seeing a lot more cameras there. So we're doing everything we can. And then the minor things that, you know, you might have forgot, we never used to have locked classroom doors. Now all the locks are handicap accessible, but they also automatically lock when they shut the door. So it's no longer, we don't have to think about it anymore. It's part of what we're doing. So you're seeing more things like that happening. We are a public institution, so anybody can come in the college, obviously. But we are taking every step we can to make sure that everybody's safe while they're there.
Well, I want to thank you, as always, for being my guest here on Education Matters. And my guest this morning in segment one is Ray Kakari, Dean of the School of Management, Engineering, and Information Technologies. And also, Ray is Dean of Campus Affairs at the Gateway, SC Johnson IMET Center, all these titles and everything. And you've had many titles, including a previous host of Breakfast Bites here on WGTD.
Thank you so much for having me. I totally enjoy being on there with you. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Thank you. And we continue with Education Matters here on WGTD Public Radio. And as you know, we serve Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, or Kenosha County, Racine County, and Walworth counties. And also we have listeners down in Illinois. And in our second segment, my guest is Dr. Jennifer Charpentier. She is Executive Director of the Gateway Technical College Foundation. And Jennifer, as always, welcome to Education Matters.
Thanks so much for having me.
I always figure, Jennifer, that some of our listeners know absolutely nothing about the Gateway Technical College Foundation. So why don't we start with that, maybe an overview of what the foundation is all about, how long it's been in existence, and just give a nice overview.
Sure. So Gateway Technical College Foundation was founded in 1977. So last year we celebrated our 40th anniversary. And we are a separate 501c3 from the college. Our purpose really is to secure resources for the college and for our students, and to help our students succeed and stay in school and realize their dreams. We have a volunteer board of directors who are wonderful champions of the college and of the foundation in the community. They represent all three counties and across multiple sectors in our community.
What kinds of activities during a typical year is the foundation involved in? And we'll talk, you know, very specifically about the scholarships and everything, but what other kinds of activities is the foundation involved in?
We offer a variety of programs for our students, which I know you shared. We'll go into a little bit more detail later. But we also try to help our donors see the impact and understand the impact of their giving. So that might be we have a summer party in August where we have traveled to each of the campuses each year, once a year. This time it is the Burlington Center and Hero Center's turn to, we get to show them off and show our donors what's going on in those campuses. And so that's a great opportunity for people to learn a little bit more about the college in general and to see the impact of their giving. Then in the fall, we have the scholarship application timeframe for our continuing students. In February, we have a wonderful scholarship awards ceremony where our donors get the opportunity to hopefully shake hands with their scholarship recipient. And I think it's probably the best hour and 15 minutes that we offer because there's such pride and joy and so much celebration during that time. And I have had a number of our donors and our volunteers share that that's one of their favorite events as well, because they truly see the impact of their work. So the next more event type thing that we do is in May, we have our annual foundation scramble. And so it's a golf scramble and a great opportunity for people to golf with a goal and help support our students that way. We also communicate with our donors throughout the year to share the impact of their giving. And also, of course, make sure they have the opportunity to give every year. So we're so grateful for that investment. And so that's just a quick overview of some of the activities that we do. I think people most often think of us for our scholarships. We have three kinds of scholarships that we offer throughout the year. The first one is from the student side. Those are for continuing students. That's offered at the end of August until about the second week in October, where students apply once online, and then based on what they tell us about themselves, they get matched to the criteria of our scholarships. And the student applies, and then we have this wonderful coterie of volunteers who read scholarship applications online, and they rate the scholarship's application, and each application gets 3 readings. And based on those ratings that the volunteers provide, then we match them to the criteria of the scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
For any of our scholarship application timeframes, all of our students apply once online during that time frame. And then, the nice thing is that they don't have to have memorized the 120 scholarships that we offer during the continuing student time frame. Instead, they just need to put their best foot forward, make sure they have solid letters of recommendation by checking with their employer, their faculty or staff member for a letter of recommendation, their supervisor. This is not an instance where mom or dad make a good reference. We really are looking to non-family members to help shine a light and be the spotlight on that student and their skills and their dreams and the wonderful qualities that they see in that student. So there's the continuing student scholarship application, and then there's the high school scholarship application timeframe, which is between January and March. Those are for students who are planning to enroll directly in Gateway after high school. And similar process, the student applies online. There's an opportunity to have letters of recommendation, also done online. And then we award those scholarships. And then in the summer, we have what we call our new adult learner scholarships. Those are for folks who have probably been out of high school for a while, may or may not have any Gateway credits, but are thinking they want to come back and continue with their education. So that time frame is in starting late next month, that there are some funds available for students who don't have any Gateway credits and but want to come and would like some financial assistance.
Mm-hmm. Out of curiosity, students who are already enrolled here at Gateway, other than going online and checking on the Gateway site, on the gtc.edu site, what kinds of communication processes, if you will, are in place around the campus, mm-hmm. around the campuses, I should say,
right.
for students in terms of making sure that they are aware of all these opportunities?
We make every effort to reach out to our students so they know about the opportunity. Even now, there are bookmarks being distributed in the bookstores as students buy books, letting them know about the continuing student scholarship application timeframe in the fall. We also have it on the TV screens, the monitors around the campuses. There will be emails going to all the students. We also have faculty and staff who will wear buttons that say, "Ask me about foundation scholarships." Mm. And the staff have some key talking points about how to help a student get started. We are so fortunate that all of our tutoring centers are willing to help our students if they've done, help them think through the, that short answer questions. The statement of purpose can sometimes feel intimidating. And the tutoring centers are more than happy to help our students take that step of completing their statement and sharing a little bit about themselves with us. We also the college will place it on its Facebook page. We sometimes make announcements through WGTD's public service announcements.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a variety of ways that we reach out. We are also planning to send postcards out in the fall to some targeted groups. So, for example, individuals who who have 3 to 6 credits left here at the college to complete their graduation, to get to graduation, but they haven't done that yet. Even if they're not currently enrolled, we're accepting those applications to help people get done. So that's one example of a targeted group. You're close to graduation. You're close. Let's help you get
mm-hmm.
it done.
Mm-hmm.
So So those are some of the ways that we try to reach out to people.
Sure. And you talked about the grants, scholarships that are available for students who are currently in high school seniors. How does that process work, and what types of contacts and collaborations mm-hmm. do we have with all the school districts in Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth counties?
So we work really heavily with our partners, the new student specialists who go into the high schools, and they help us promote the scholarships. We also will reach out in the fall to the superintendents and principals. We are looking at, in January, mailing postcards to parents of high school seniors to let them know about the opportunity as well. So mm-hmm. Those are some of the ways that we reach out to the high school students.
When you were talking about the types of grants, I know there's also the emergency grants.
Right.
And I know that those are available throughout the year. Maybe if you could talk a bit about what the emergency grant is all about, and maybe just give an example, not by name mm-hmm. of a student, mm-hmm. but just an example of a type of an emergency grant.
Sure. So our student emergency funds were started in the late 80s, and they are for an unanticipated, unexpected expense that could prevent a student from staying here at the college. So we have a process. It's up to $500. It's a one-time grant. And we have a process in place that if a student is in that situation where they're in a financial bind and they don't know how they're going to be able to complete school without some financial help, that's the intention of the emergency grants. And their first step is to go see a personal support counselor on any of our campuses to talk with, they're all women, so I'm to talk with her about the life barriers that they're facing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the recommendations that the counselor may have, in addition to what's available in the community, are also the student emergency funds. The student will then complete an application, letting us know about the nature of their emergency. And then we evaluate it. There are certain criteria. The student needs to be in good academic standing here at the college. What we do is, after they complete the application, we have several internal buckets of foundation funds that we can draw from depending on what their situation is. And then the college has also received a grant from the state legislature through the technical college system for student emergency funds as well. Now, you and I know that when a student is in crisis, they don't care what bucket of money the money is coming mm-hmm. out of. So we make the decision what bucket to pull it out of based on what the student's situation is. So then the student is alerted that they are that they've been granted the funds, and we will work with whoever. We pay third-party payers. So whether it's a landlord for rent, it's the insurance company for a deductible because they were in a car accident and they have to travel via car to get to school. If they need gas money, we go buy gas cards. If it's food that they need, we buy grocery cards. So it depends a little bit on what the situation is, but generally, or I should say, we are paying third-party payers
mm-hmm.
to take care of whatever their issue is so that they can move on with the next step in their life. At the back end, what happens for them is they work with another member of our student support team. In this case, it's the student finance specialist. We'll talk about with them, do the processing with them about the grant that they've received. They will enroll them in a financial literacy program so that, particularly with an eye towards helping them budget if they don't already do that, and the idea of setting up a rainy day fund for themselves if they can, so that really they're learning as much as they can from a very stressful situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the final step is that we ask them to write a handwritten thank you note. So we see just... when we get those notes, which we share with our donors to the emergency funds, you know, we see things like, I didn't know other people cared about people like me.
Mm.
Thank you. So we know that it makes a huge impact for our students. And to the extent to which it helps them stay in school that semester and helps them graduate, we know of a number of our students who have graduated who have been helped by the student emergency funds.
Mm-hmm. Before we talk about how an individual or a company or a corporation can become a donor, maybe if you could talk briefly about the Gateway Promise program.
People may have heard about the Gateway Promise. It is the college's promise to the community of 6 semesters of tuition-free education for high school students who direct enroll in the college after high school. They have to meet certain academic and economic criteria mm-hmm. in order to be eligible for the program. And the foundation side of it is that on the economic side, there's a certain level at which the family may be expected to contribute income to the tuition and fees here at the mm-hmm. college. And for some families, that little bit, there's a gap that they can't afford, even though the external assessment says, based on their financial information, they are expected to contribute that amount of income. So for some families, it could be game over. The $250, the $1,000 to put towards full-time study here at the college is not what they can do. So that's where, on the last dollars in, the foundation is providing gap funding for that last bit for our Promise students. And in the first semester, we provided about $18,000 to about 20 students. So that amount is just helping to ensure that it is truly tuition-free for those students. So we are so excited that the first cohort came here last fall of over 160 students. Mm. And the first two have graduated in May with their technical diplomas. And I understand we're expecting another 20 to graduate in the fall. So it's just been this extraordinary opportunity for students who maybe never thought they would be able to go to college, that their family didn't even talk about it because they figured they couldn't do it, that they can think about coming to college and get their start here at Gateway.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, if an individual or a company is interested in becoming a donor, what is the actual process?
Sure. So the process is depends a little bit of what they want to do. If they are interested in simply making a gift, we welcome gifts and checks and cash or online with credit card at any time. Also, if someone is interested in one of our scholarships, in naming a scholarship, if they want to do what we call an annual named scholarship, that amount is a minimum of $500 a year. They'll want to talk with me about that because we also want, if you're going to name the scholarship, then we have parameters by which you can decide what the criteria is for the scholarship. And then you get to name the scholarship as well. So that would be a minimum gift of $500. For individuals who want to make a gift in perpetuity and make sure it's always there, we have endowed scholarships that start at $10,000. And we would work together that the minimum GPA on any of our scholarships is a 2.0. Of our high school and our continuing student mm-hmm. scholarships, mm-hmm. it's a 2.0. So, and then there's some other criteria that, depending on the type of student you want to help, I would like to be a part of the conversation determining the criteria because we want to make sure that scholarship can be awarded.
Sure.
So reaching out to me is a great way to do that. If someone wants to help through, they just love what's happening at the college and they want to support the mission of the foundation, they're welcome to do that. They want to help the student emergency funds or start a scholarship or help our GED testing grant fund. Whatever individuals are interested in helping to make possible for our students, we'd be glad to help facilitate mm-hmm. that.
And if they do want to get in touch with you or the foundation, how do they do that?
So you can reach me by my phone at 262-564-2866. Or they can reach me online at my email address, I should say, is charpenterj@gtc.edu. And, of course, you can find all of that information on the college's website. The foundation has several web pages, and so all you need to go to is gtc.edu/foundation.
Okay, very good. I want to thank Dr. Jennifer Charpentier, who's Executive Director of the Gateway Technical College Foundation, for once again being my guest this morning on Education Matters.
Thanks so much for having me, and thank you to all of our donors.
Absolutely. And my guest this morning on